Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
But first tonight, has gentle parenting gone too far? Following on from last night's discussion about smacking children, I want to talk about gentle parenting. This approach to parenting preaches empathy, validation and mutual respect between parents and their kids. It's not about punishments, timeouts or harsh discipline. Instead, it's about guiding children through their emotions and fostering self-discipline without fear. But is it actually raising well-adjusted kids, or are we creating a generation that can't handle the real world? So why are parents choosing gentle parenting? For a lot of them, it's a reaction against the way that they were raised. Many grew up in a more authoritarian parenting with strict rules, harsh consequences and a because-I-said-so mentality. That approach was all about obedience, respect and discipline. But critics say it often instilled fear rather than understanding, while others say it's needed to make sure that children grow up with respect. Arguments in favour of gentle parenting can include emotional development by validating children's feelings and encouraging open communication. Gentle parenting supports the development of emotional intelligence and empathy. And positive behaviour, focusing on understanding the reasons behind a child's behaviour, can lead to a more effective guidance and long-term positive behaviour. Arguments against gentle parenting, some might say, there's a lack of boundaries and also it undermines parental authority. So where do we draw the line? Are we raising kinder, more emotionally intelligent kids, or are we setting them up for failure by shielding them from tough lessons? Is gentle parenting the future, or has it gone too far? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008, or get involved on social media on Facebook at Ireland's Classic Hits and on X at Classic Hits Radio. I'm going to go to Jessica first. Hi Jessica, how are you?
Hi AJ.
How you doing? So what do you think about gentle parenting? Is it the way forward?
Oh, I think it's a load of my you-know-what.
Why do you say that?
Because I see it every day in my job. You see kids having meltdowns because they can't have this, that and the other. And instead of getting told off, they're more or less getting a therapy session. Like, there's nothing wrong with a bit of discipline. There's nothing wrong with saying, stop being bold. There's nothing wrong with having a bit of fear. Fear is healthy. Like, I cannot understand why now it's come down to their level, talk to them, say, now, let's not do that, let's talk through things. No, just tell your child, you're acting like a brat, stop acting like a brat.
But like, Jessica, let me just ask, like, if you were feeling upset about something and there was something that you were really struggling with and someone just comes along and says, Jessica, just cop on, will you? You know, would you be happy with that?
There's a difference between being genuinely upset about something and just having a temper tantrum, like most kids do. Like, people say, like, oh, well, they don't understand their emotions and all. I'm like, well, teach them. But you don't have to put yourself in a doormat position. That's all they're going to do. They're going to take advantage of it and be like, all right, I can get away with anything because my mom and dad are soft touchers who don't know how to discipline because they never took any disciplinary actions with me.
But do you not think it's possible to discipline a child in a gentle way?
No, like I just think it's a bunch of new age BS. Like, there is nothing wrong with, but there is nothing wrong with having a healthy fear of your parents or a healthy fear of authority in general. That's why we have kids acting the way they do, because they just don't have a fear of anyone anymore. Because you can't say anything to them anymore. You can't even call them bold or naughty anymore.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of childcare settings now, they won't use the word naughty or bold.
Oh, I know, whereas back in the day, like, you'd actually get told by your teachers, are you going to keep acting bold or do I need to take it outside to the principal's office? Like, it's mad because I wasn't a child that long ago myself, only about 20 years or so, and I just think it's all gone absolutely insane.
So when you were a kid, did your parents take a gentle parenting approach, or were they more authoritarian? Were they strict? How did they punish you?
Oh, no, if I was acting up, I'd get told, you're being bold, stop it. Like, and eventually you get to the stage where it's like, if you don't stop, I'm taking X, Y, Z off you. And then that's when I was like, right, I better behave because they're going to take something off me.
And did that approach then work for you? You don't feel like you needed a more gentle approach?
No, I didn't. I just got a regular growing up. I had a healthy fear of authority figures then. Whereas, like I said, now no child fears any sort of authority figure.
And you think, like you said, that you think a certain amount of fear is healthy?
It is, yeah. There's nothing wrong with having a bit of fear. That's why I think kids today are absolutely screwed.
And do you think for this generation coming up that are having gentle parenting, do you think that's going to be an issue moving forward?
I think it will be. I honestly don't even want to think about what the next few generations are going to be like. Because the world, hopefully I'll be long gone before then, but the world is just going to get more and more crazy, and not in a good way.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, Jessica.
It's tempered downward spiral.
Stay with me there, Jessica. I'm going to go to Morris. We're talking about gentle parenting. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. Hi, Morris. How are you?
Evening, Nigel. How are you doing? Great subject.
Being
somebody who grew up in the 60s, I had a very firm father. He was an army man, and he ruled with fear. And, you know, does it have an impression on you? It did. And I swore when I grew up, because he had 10 kids, so you have to rule the house, I suppose. I'm a man. But the thing that came across to me, being the youngest out of the 10, it was like, I'm big, you're little, I'm right, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as a parent raises their voice to you, or raises their hand to you, they've lost the argument, they've lost the plus, because you don't have children to beat them or shout at them. You can, like Jessica said, if you drop to your knees and get down to the child and say, listen, don't be doing that to the other child. Don't bite that other child. That's not acceptable. That's not nice. You don't lash them across their face or lash them across the back of our legs. I'll give you an example, AJ. I have an 82-year-old sister, right? Sheila. And I was talking to her about when she was in school, right? She was born in 1943. And she's a great woman. I love her to death. And she told me of an incident where she was in school with her twin sister, Nora. And because my sister's didn't turn up for something called sodality, a thing called sodality in the Catholic Church, the nun beat the two of the back of their legs with a piece of wood off an orange box or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And she still remembers that at 82. And my father, who was an army man, went down to the school in Inchicore, and he pulled the nun out, and he says, he took off his army belt, his Sam Brown belt, and he said, if you ever hit my girls again, I will whip you to an inch of your life. So do you see the way fear breeds fear?
Yeah.
But that nun attacked 2 5-year-old children. And that's what, when I hear her telling me at 82 years of age, that's still in her mind and it's still recallable, that's when you know children are being abused. And the last thing parents need to be doing is abusing their children, either physically or mentally. Because this attitude of, I'm big, you're little, I'm right, you're wrong, it doesn't work. Because all you remember, because I remember a radio presenter saying one day, oh, I just shout at them and they curl up in a ball or they go quiet. Like, if you're letting things get that bad that you have to shout with your children, you're not being a very good parent. And you know what I mean? I'm firm, but I'm fair. I don't want my children or my grandchildren being afraid of me or wetting themselves every time you raise your voice because you want to be in control or you think you're a man or you think you're the boss of the house. But I grew up in a family where if my mother got pissed off sometimes, she'd lob a slipper at you or she'd hit you with a wooden spoon to get you to be quiet. But it seems to have got worse because that generation that got that done to them carried it on into the next generation. And all you're doing is passing on all the bad shit to the children.
I feel like that's what now a lot of millennials and older Gen Zers with their kids are trying to do. They're trying to stop that cycle, you know, and not continue it on through to the next generation. And that's what I feel I'm doing. And it sounds like that's what you're doing as well, Morris. And I agree with sort of being firm but fair, firm but kind, firm but gentle, you know.
Not be nasty or be angry or have a child fearful of you. Or what do you remember about your childhood? Oh, Jesus, I was afraid of me there all my life.
Oh, that's awful.
That's a horrific thing for anybody to have to say.
Yeah.
Oh, my mother used to beat the shit out of us, or she'd get drunk at the weekend and whatever. You know, that's a horrific, violent person because they're only doing to you what was done to them. So it's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle that needs to be broke. I'm not saying namby-pamby or you have kids. You see kids in supermarkets throwing wobblies. Either one, they're special needs, or two, they control the family, i.e., they control the parents. And, you know, they don't know how to parent properly. I've seen it. But, like, I'm a granddad now, so I know how to handle situations because I grew up on the negative side of it and I made sure I didn't become that person.
Yeah, great job, Aaron. It's like that. And it's great to recognise it and say, look, I don't want that for my kids,
exactly.
And try to change something.
Yeah,
Yeah, go ahead.
And if you see a problem, you rectify it and you challenge it and say, well, hang on a minute, how can I get around this? And it's not about being a nicey-nicey or me dad's me best friend or me ma's me best friend. It's being fair to your children and show them you love them and encourage them rather than beating them and having them afraid of you.
So do you think with gentle parenting, do you think in some respects it is going too far, being too namby-pamby and too gentle and being too permissive, you know, and not having boundaries?
Well, listen, if you live under my roof, I have my rules and you follow my rules. And if you break them, there'll be consequences. But I won't beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Or I won't leave you black and blue or lock you up in your room or hit you that hard that you piss yourself. Which what happened to me.
Oh, God.
My father hit me one time when I was 8 years of age, and I actually pissed myself.
Oh, Morris, that's shocking.
You know, do you see the way... But that's what I grew up with. But she made me the person I am because I said to myself when I was very young, and I was the youngest of the 10 kids, I won't turn out like that. I don't want to be that man. You know? Now, he was a great man, but when he lost it, he lost it. And when he hit you, he fucking hit you into next week.
But that's the thing as well. I mean...
But he always made sure nobody was...
Controlling your
temper. He always
made
sure nobody was around.
Controlling your temper is such a skill, and everybody should be able to control their temper. I mean, a certain amount of anger and having a temper is fine and it's healthy, but you need to be able to control it. And I think that there was the generations there where they just weren't able to control it, and the kids suffered. And now this is why people some of them could possibly be going too far the other way, being too namby-pamby, but we are trying to make a change and people are trying to make a change, so that's why they're opting for the gentler route.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I say to you, if you're violent towards your children in any sense or form, either mentally or physically, you don't deserve to be a parent.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah,
children are the future.
Yeah.
You need to be encouraged on them and brought up, not to be beaten and told submissive or I hated my childhood, I never had anything, I was black and blue all my life. You know, it's horrendous. And that's what went on in this country. But we need to move forward and grow. And this show you about, get on the naughty step there for 5 minutes. No, the tosh. You know, if you like something, say, you're not doing that for half an hour, you're not doing that for an hour. But like I said, AJ, we're reading a nation of, IT a nation of kids coming up now, especially my grandchildren, and I call them the IT kids. They're either planted in front of a phone or a screen. I'll give you an example. I have a 3-year-old grandson, right? Mm-hmm. And they brought him to the cinema to see the new Sonic Hedgehog movie. Do you know what he said? Wow, look at the size of that screen.
Yeah, because he's only interested in the size of the
screen. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. But like I said, I'm big, you're little, I'm right, you're wrong. That's dead, that's gone.
That's from Matilda, isn't it?
Treat them fair but fair.
That quote from Matilda.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Miss Trunchbull. Miss Trunchbull, exactly.
I think
we all know people like that.
Danny
you know?
DeVito, it was the dad. It was the dad said that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the smallest man in the film.
Yeah. literally. That is, yeah, that's a very telling. I totally agree with everything you're saying, Morris. And like, I think you're doing great. And the fact that you were so self-aware, like I say, that you actually made the decision, like, I'm not going to do that with my kids. And I think that's what a lot of parents are doing now. And that's why I think gentle parenting is becoming.
Yeah, it's more enjoyable now. And it's not confrontational or it's not stressful or, I'm sorry I had you, or you're not planned, or you're not wanted. Imagine saying that to your child. Do you know what I mean? This is the way they lash back at people. Oh, I'm sorry we had you. You're a mistake. You weren't wanted. You weren't planned. Mm. You would have won too far. No, this is shite, you know? Or I prefer him, or I prefer her. But if you want to treat people the way you want to be treated, and especially children, because I guarantee you, if you do the wrong thing by a child, they'll never forget it. And I give you the example of my 82-year-old sister being beaten by a nun at 5 years of age.
And she still talks about it. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she relives it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awful. Like, awful what happened to your sister. She was only little, like, and to carry it on for that long. No, it is. It's really telling. It really, really is. Stay with me there, Morris. I'm going to go to Lily. I'm going to go to Lily now.
Cheers.
Hiya, Lily. How are you doing?
Hi. Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. So what do you agree with gentle parenting, or do you think it's going too far?
I was absolutely engrossed with Morris there telling the story about his sister and that he wasn't going to be brought, he wasn't going to do that. It's very, very true. The nuns, I got beaten by the nuns, but I grew up and got married, but I always resented the nuns for that, and I still hold it against them. I'm in my 60s now. I had six kids. My husband left me when they were all young. But I'm really thinking on the same lines as Morris about firm but fair.
Yeah. Because you can be fair, and you do, but you do have to have boundaries. I mean, for safety, if anything else.
You have to have boundaries. You have to have boundaries. You have to have. Sorry.
Lily, is that your telly? Is it?
No.
Sorry, that was my television.
Oh,
sorry,
Morris,
that was mine.
Turn it down.
I did. It's gone. It's gone. It just blew up there.
You're grand. Lily, go on.
But look,
ahead.
Lily is right, AJ. Lily is right. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. If you want to jump in there, Morris, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just saying Lily is right. Even she remembers what was done to her. And like,
yes,
you were sent to school to get education. You were sent to school to get encouragement to be brought on. And all Lily remembers is the nun being nasty and physically brutal to her. Do you see the way it sticks with people, no matter what age you are, because you're a child and you're like a sponge and you absorb everything. And like when my two sisters were beaten, Nora was the weaker twin, and she cried before the nun even hit her. That's how bad it was. She was anticipating what was going to happen. And like what Lily said, she's a bit younger than my sister, so we're in the same age group as me in her 60s. And still to this day, it's still in her head. And she can remember what they did. There you go. It never leaves you. It never leaves you because you're a child and you're brutalized.
And I agree with everything, Mark. You said, Morris, firm but fair, and yes.
Yeah, just encourage them. But like I said, Lily, you've done your job. Your children are aired now, and you've done your job, so you'll be rewarded. Whereas the nuns, you know, they thought you were doing God's work, and they called the children the devil's children. You know, they'll burn in hell for what you did to generations of this country.
I actually went to meet the nun that hit me. I went to meet her. I went to meet her a couple of years ago. She was in a home, and I went to meet her. I said, do you remember using that stick on me and my friend? Do you remember beating us?
Yeah.
And she was all sympathetic, and she was, you know, she really didn't know what to say. I said, I always wanted to meet you and ask you why did you do that to us? Like, and she was so sympathetic, and she said, I'll probably get punished when I leave this world. And I said, well, you know, it was terrible. I would never forget it. And as you said, your sisters would never forget it either. So with my kids, when I got married, well, I had six kids. My husband left. That's nothing to do with this subject. But I think if you build a foundation, with your kids when they're young, and if you start with the, it's like building a house. If you have a good foundation, everything else falls into place.
100%.
So I just spoke to my kids and just said to them, if you break the rules, there's going to be consequences.
I'm done.
Just treat people nice, and if people will treat you nice, and you're not going to have everything that other kids have. You have to be grateful for what you have, and if they disobeyed whatever rules, there were consequences. They weren't allowed to go to the cinema. They weren't allowed to go. They weren't allowed to go to a disco. But I never really had problems because I started when they were young, from when they were in the buggy, like going shopping and things like that. They were told, you know, if you tell them when they're younger and
behave yourself.
I think people who got beaten when they were young, and no more than sorry, Morris, for saying it about your dad. You decided, well, this isn't going to, I'm not going to carry on this. And that's why you're so positive. And it's very nice to hear your story, but also very sad. But you're very good. Like, I really enjoyed listening to you.
Yeah, same, Morris.
Well, Lily, you're very good too for coming on.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask you, Lily, when you spoke to that nun, did you forgive her?
No.
No.
I most certainly did not forgive her. No.
That just shows
because
how deep it runs, you know?
I didn't forgive her because the reason I didn't forgive her was because there were other girls in the class, but they were bank managers' daughters and they were doctors' daughters, and I've never remembered them getting the same treatment.
Gosh. Yeah.
So
yeah.
She made me feel like I was beneath them, and it does have a thing on your personality when you get you just think that, well, why was I beaten? Why was my friend beaten? And the others, the ones that were such and such a daughter. You know what I'm on about. You know what I mean.
Like, totally hear you, Lily.
If you were such a, if you were a doctor's or a bank manager's daughter, blah, 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 you got special treatment because I've seen that.
So I think as well, go ahead, Lily. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Sorry. No, you're okay, love. You're okay. When my kids were young, I told them that they're not better than anyone else. But I said, you're just as good as ye. Do your best and appreciate things. Respect people. And always remember, it's not what you wear, it's how you wear it.
That's good advice, Lily. And another thing, I was just thinking there, I heard some child psychologists saying something along the lines of, the more you talk to your children when they're younger, the more that they'll talk to you when they're older. So it's like the more that you put
that
in, and the kindness
the
that you put in, that's what you'll get back.
Yeah. That's absolute. And I think and you know how people say, you know, when you have kids and you want to talk to them, or I think listening to kids is far more important than talking to them or talking at them.
Good point, Lily.
And let them talk, let them express their feelings or whatever, but you also have to have boundaries with kids. You have to let them know the firm side, firm but fair.
Stay with me there, guys. I'm going to have to go to the ads, but thank you so much, Morris and Lily, for telling your stories there. I was like absolutely on the edge of my seat listening. I've just got a text in saying, you hit the nail on the head with your intro. That's exactly the upbringing that I had, and I swore my child wouldn't go through it. I was petrified of my parents, more so my dad, but my mother treated me awfully as well. I brought my child up with gentle parenting, but now we are like best friends. But now she's 11 and I'm finding it difficult to keep the respect and the parent-child boundary. Thanks for sending that message in. I do think, though, that any kid, once they hit sort of 11, 12, 13 years of age, I think you're always going to have a little bit of a pushback, no matter what your parenting is like. But I mean, it sounds like you're doing a really good job, and, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. If you want to get in touch with this, we're talking about gentle parenting. 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. We'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Thursday night's Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. I just want to say a big thank you to Lily and Morris, who were on just before the break to tell their stories, and they had decided that they were going to stop the cycle of, you know, being an authoritarian parent, and they sort of chose a more gentle route with their kids. I've just got a message in here saying, very interesting conversation. I'm 52 with a 16 and 13 year old. I would be a huge advocate for gentle parenting. I think people think you are weak, but it takes a great strength to be able to parent like this. You don't have to learn self-control. You have to learn self-control to be able to control your emotions. What I say to people is, don't take my kindness as a weakness. Also, I work with 5 year olds in school, and the thought of someone, especially an adult, hitting them, my God, they are so small and vulnerable. That's the thing as well. They're our kids. They're only little at the end of the day. I'm going to go to Dave next. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you?
What's the crack?
Not much. So how, gentle parenting, is that the route that you take? Because I know that you do have children.
I don't know really if I'd call my parenting style gentle parenting. Just like every other parent out there, I'm just making this shit up as I go along.
Oh, we all are,
yeah. You know, but like, you see, you hear people nowadays and they go, oh, gentle parenting, and they roll their eyes. Because there's this assumption that gentle parenting is you let your kids get away with everything. You don't shout, you don't roar.
That's permissive parenting. That's where you're just rolling over. And yeah, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, like I have a 15-year-old and a 3-year-old. Trust me, there are times where my voice gets raised.
Oh, stop.
But the thing
is, you
know, the thing is, like, every parent knows one of the greatest weapons in your arsenal is your tone of voice. Because you can be like, lads, nobody's listening, you go, lads. And you get their attention. Like, if you shout more all the time, it's going to lose its effectiveness. Do you know? Or like someone mentioned earlier on, like, oh, what are you going to do? Are you going to get down to their level? Like, I don't understand why people treat that with scorn. Because, like, you imagine, you put yourself in the perspective of a 3-year-old child who's having a meltdown because they can't regulate their emotions. Your job is to teach them how to regulate their emotions. And if you're towering over them, shouting and roaring, that's not going to help. It takes a hell of a lot more self-control to be able to get down to their level, to get them to calm down, to get them to relax, to get them to chill out, to explain to them why the thing that they're doing, they're not allowed to do.
And it takes massive self-control as well, Dave, because the thing is, at those times, you're not feeling calm. You're not feeling all nicey-nicey. Oh. You're feeling like you're about to blow because the anxiety and the pressure.
I was trying to feed my young fella. He was two at the time. And like, I'm trying to feed him. He's, you know, the usual toddler crack, screaming, roaring, slapping stuff away. And I'm like, hey, come on, eat your food. Let's do the happy food dance. La, 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 la. And my older fella's there is like, geez, Dad, you're really chilled out right now. And I wheeled on him. I goes, I won't throw a chair through a fucking window right now.
Literally, yeah.
But you can't, you know, because like from age 0 to 4 are the most important years in regards to emotional regulation, forming attachments with people, forming bonds with people. It takes a hell of a lot more to stay calm, cool, and collected. And actually, because you think about it, right? Like, child freaks out, you freak out, child's pissed off, you're pissed off, you're not helping anything. But if you manage to walk them, like, I managed to walk my little fella back from, like, a nuclear-level meltdown one day, and my brain was just like, dopamine. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was almost like it was giving me a high from just being able to do it. But like the people who just say screaming and roaring at kids, that's taking the easy way out. You know, that's easy. Oh, I'm just going to shout at my kids, or I'm going to roar at my kids. Or there's a thing I see some parents do, and it pisses me off to no end, is parents who, even though they know they're wrong, they don't admit that they're wrong to their kids.
Yeah, you know, so parents kind of who will never apologise or say, look, do you know what, like, I just want to explain to you, I lost the plot there, and explain what happened and apologise, say that you were in the wrong. A lot of parents won't do that. They won't apologise to their kids.
I tell my oldest kid regularly, it takes a bigger person to put their hand up and admit that they're wrong than just to keep saying that they were right or whatever. And I've done it many a time. I've pulled my own foot aside and said, listen, I was wrong there. I snapped at you. I apologize, because you don't want your kids, like, there's a difference between, I know people say your kids should have a healthy fear of you. I don't want my kids to fear me. I want my children to respect me. I don't want my kids to be like, oh shit, I better not throw this glass bottle at someone, I'm going to get in trouble. I want them to be like, no, if I throw this glass bottle at someone, I'm going to hurt somebody and there's going to be consequences to my actions.
That's it.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
when you start, it's like when you start a job and you keep getting screamed and roared at, you only learn enough just to not get screamed and roared at. You don't actually learn what you're supposed to learn.
Yeah. No, you hit the nail on the head there, 100%.
No, and it's not easy. And look, I've got two kids. Don't get me wrong. My kids can be dicks when they want to be, just like everybody else. But at the same time, my eldest kid is an absolute sweetheart. He gets on fantastically in life. And my three-year-old, like, my parenting style is completely, because they're 12 years apart, it's wildly different between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, and I was, when my first one was born, I was only 22 when we had it, you know. I was the one that shouted and roared and walked around like, well, I'm your dad. I'm the authority figure. You should have respect for me. But then
when you were walking around like that, did you feel nice? Did you feel happy? No, you probably felt absolutely miserable, angry all the time.
I felt horrible.
Awful.
Yeah, I felt,
yeah.
But there's almost like this societal thing, particularly with that. And like, the reason men are probably the ones who shout the most, it's because we can get away with it. Because, like, you know, like, even nowadays, like, there's a lot more, you know, like, a lot more of a partnership, let's say, between men and women. But a lot of men, we tend to abdicate our responsibilities because mammy's there. Do you know the thing? Like, you know, you have a sick child, you're like, oh, no, look, go to mammy. Oh, see, when they go to mammy, they calm down. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Men can shout and roar and get away with it because mammy's there to pick up the pieces. And mammy's there to be the nurturer. This time around, I'm doing it on my own. So I don't have that luxury. And I can see it more from the other side. You know, like, I can't walk around shouting and roaring and screaming because, A, it doesn't help anyone. B, I don't want my... Like, when you look at your kid after you flip out and they look at you and there's fear in their eyes, that cuts you clean in half. That's like a dagger to the heart. You don't want that. Like, I had an amazing relationship with my own dad. But if I got into trouble at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was the last person on earth I was going to call. I want my eldest son to know, no matter what it is, if he's in trouble, no matter what time, day or night, I'm there for him and I have his back. Do you know? And like, he does get punished. There are punishments. Like, I think people are like, oh, you're a gentle parent, you never punish your kids. I ground my kids. I take stuff away. If he really wants something, I have made him sign a written contract. And like, you know, the punishments have been there in black and white for him to see. Do you know? It's about teaching them boundaries, you know, teaching them that they also have a little bit of agency themselves in their own lives. Do you know? I don't think it's you're not teaching them how to interact with the real world. You're actually teaching them from a very young age. Your actions have consequences.
Yeah. And with what you said about you don't want them to say, oh, I'm not going to do this bad thing because I'll get in trouble. You want them to say, I'm not going to do this bad thing because of the consequences. So it's about teaching them all about the consequences and not losing your rag all the time. And it's easier said than done as well, you know, not losing your rag, because it does happen from time to time. But for the most part...
Of course it does. You're only human.
Yeah, we're only humans as well at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, I have a teenager living in the house, and I tell him regularly, like, since, you know, the hormones started, I daydream about smothering him in his sleep very often. Do you know? But you're only human. Like, do you know, you have to teach your kids to stand on their own two feet, and that their actions will have consequences in the world. If you scream and roar and shout all the time, they're just going to shut down, and they're not going to listen to you.
And that's the last thing you want, and especially in their teenage years. Stay with me there, Dave. We're talking about gentle parenting. If you want to get involved in the conversation, WhatsApp 087-188-0008. I'm going to go to Maureen next. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So, gentle parenting.
Gentle parenting. Well, again, what do people mean by gentle parenting?
Well, it's more just about having empathy and respect, really, between parent and child, rather than going in an authoritarian manner.
Right. Now, I know I'm just putting it out there, I wasn't meaning it as a question, but gentle parenting. Well, you see, what I'm saying today, the way I did it and the way I was brought up, I'm looking at some parents today and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And the way I'm looking and seeing the way children are turning out. Now, did I do it with mine growing up? Did I lose the plot sometimes because they push buttons too far and lost my temper? Yes, because it's a human reaction. It's an emotion. Did I let one of mine cry it out until they just had enough? And did I let them go sulk? Yes, I did. The one thing I never taught them was to hide their emotions. Because that's not a good thing. Because they're human. They are human feelings that we have. And you suppress the emotions. You're not doing them any favor. That was always my idea. And I do with my own grandchildren. I let them see me in different modes.
That is part of gentle parenting, is allowing emotions and recognizing emotions
Well, it is to start. It is, AJ, but it's not today. But parents I'm seeing today, the way some parenting is going, I'm looking at children out there, I'm looking at their behaviour. I'm looking at how they interact with their parents. I'm looking at the back chat parents are getting from 10 and 12-year-olds, even younger. I'm listening to names parents are called. I'm listening to what they're saying to them. I wouldn't have tolerated that for 5 minutes for my children.
Maureen? Do you think it's sort of more because these children are being emotionally neglected? And that's why
I don't think it's emotionally neglected. I think it's because there's an ideology being pushed that it's being pushed now into parents, where you see where parents, the control was actually removed from parents. So we're seeing a generation come here behind us that some of them are not turning out well because there's no discipline, number one. You're not allowed to discipline your child. And that was a big no-no for me. That's a parent's job now. Even mine were going to school, they were still in school. You know, some of the teachers could be a little bit over the top. But the problem is that nobody disciplined mine. You see, that was Mama Bear went into action. If somebody else tried to do that, that was my job. But it's this ideology, it's floated in everywhere. Being told what to do, and you can't do this and you can't do that. It's eroded into people's lives. And some parents are actually terrified to even check their children in public in case some nosy snoop is watching.
I do think you're right, Maureen, and I do think a lot of parents are afraid of being judged.
They're terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified.
And it's definitely that does affect. And I think it makes it really hard being a parent nowadays, and especially with social media and everything that you see on there. And parents definitely do feel like they've been judged. There's so much on social media telling you what's the right way, what's the wrong way. And there's so much information there that nobody actually knows what is right and what is wrong. And like Dave said, we're all just winging it here, you know, just making it up as we go along. But I think if we're trying to do it from a position where, like you said, Maureen, is allowing the children to have emotions rather than just shutting them down and just be like, shut up and be quiet. right. I think that that's a good place to start. Stay with me there, guys. I do have to go to the break. If you want to get involved in the conversation, we're talking about gentle parenting. 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan this week. Now, we're talking about gentle parenting, and I've just received a message saying, I grew up in Cork and our parents were lovely. I was only disciplined a few times, but then I knew right from wrong. I hung around with a couple of unsavouries, and if I didn't get the discipline of shouting to tell me right from wrong, I'd probably be in prison now. I have two teenagers myself, and they're two good kids from how my parents reared me. And there is a generation now who are not even afraid of the guards. A little bit of fear is good for them. So that's what Patrick had to say. Now I'm going to go to Martin next. Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm good this evening, AJ. Good evening.
Good, good. So gentle parenting, what do you think?
It's a very interesting conversation. And it's the opposite side of the coin to the discussion last night. But it's still the same coin, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
There have been a lot of very intelligent, cogent points made tonight by all the contributors, particularly David and Maureen and Morris. My view of it is, I remember when I was a child, now my father, they're all still alive, thank God. I have five siblings. My father never laid a hand on any of us, never in his entire life, none of us. But if I did something wrong, I was sat down and we'd have a conversation. And that conversation would involve my father asking me, do you realize the consequences of what you've done? Do you realize? And it may be something that was, you know, relatively serious or something that was minor, but it was always, there are consequences to other people and to you for what you've done. And there were so many times, and there would be consequences, whether that was, you're off to bed now, go up and I don't want to see you until tomorrow, or it could be, okay, you know, tomorrow you start on the potato drills that I was going to put into the back garden. My father was you know, he grew a lot of his own stuff in the garden when I was younger. But it was always measured. He was never an aggressive man. Now,
and do you think that that's shaped you to the sort of person that you are? Because you always seem very measured. Well, you've talked things out. You know, it definitely would have shaped you.
Yeah. To a very, very high degree, I think it had a profound effect on my life and the life of my siblings. You know, it wasn't, you didn't get a pass on things. There were always consequences. Whether that was, I know people won't know what I'm talking about, but there used to be a thing called Admiral Red at the time. And on a Saturday morning, if I'd done something that was just a little bit minor, you know, out of, you know, that I shouldn't have done, it was my job on a Saturday morning, get out there with the brush and you do that Cardinal Red on the doorstep. But I know people don't use it anymore, but anyone of my generation will probably remember what I'm talking about.
Is that why the steps were red?
Well, I've read
is,
all,
that, is it a paint?
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
It's like a paint, but it's more like a dye that kind of settles into the concrete. But I've read all kinds of books by all kinds of child psychologists, and some of them make very good points, and some of them are just complete waffle. For me, and I know what I'm going to say, people say, oh, you know, here he goes again, or he's out of date, or whatever else. Yes, child psychologists, their books are interesting. But for me, I will turn to the one who knows best, and that's my creator. And when I look into the Bible, and I sent in a text last night, which you didn't get to, and I understand that, but I referenced, you know, at one time, people used to use the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I think I had a discussion with Niall one night about this. It comes from the book of Proverbs. And people take that entirely out of context, because a rod at that time didn't necessarily mean a stick. Well, it did mean a stick, but it didn't mean something to beat a child with. Now, that in Proverbs 13, it starts off talking about how you deal with adults, how you keep your tone measured and calm, how you discuss things with people, how you progress a relationship, the whole thing. And it goes down, and it does say, you know, in fact, in some translations, it says he that spares the rod hates his child. But it doesn't mean that you beat your children. That's not what it meant at all. What was meant by it, a rod at the time, I mean, we're talking, people understood the context at the time, because at the time there were no paved roads, there were no nothing. And almost everyone would travel with a stick, with a rod, men and women and children, to help them along, you know, to give them support. It wasn't meant as, it wasn't a metaphor for beating your child. That's not what it meant at all. And that's reinforced later because, pardon me, later on in the scriptures, Solomon himself, you know, he wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now, I mean, they were father and son. They both understood. You know, if a rod is being used as something to beat you with, you're not going to get much comfort from it. The term rod meant, you know, to show your child a straight path. It was all, a rod was also used as a measuring tool to show them how to be measured, to show them how to be straight. And the whole thing comes down to finding a balance. I don't think that beating a child will ever accomplish anything. It'll either brutalize the child to the point where they become brutal themselves, or they'll just, at the very best, they'll resent you. I mean, the only time I was ever physically assaulted or beaten as a child was on a couple of occasions. I got into fights with a kid. But by an adult, the only time I was ever brutalized as a child was in school. And it did me absolutely no good because it was over the top. The lessons I learned from it were, you've accomplished nothing here because I don't know why you're beating me. To communicate with a child, I understand people, we all get frustrated. And I'm not claiming that I never got frustrated with my daughters. I did, but I would never resort to screaming at them or shouting at them. I wouldn't do that with an adult. If I'm having a conversation or a disagreement with an adult, I will tell them why I'm disagreeing with them, why I'm having a confrontation.
Exactly. So treat children the same way that you would go into a disagreement or an argument with an adult.
As an adult, you have to go to the child's level. The child doesn't have the same world experience that you have. And you have to explain to them why and where they're wrong. Now, that's not always going to work. But it has to be said, there are people in the world who, no matter what you do, they will just turn out bad. There are bad apples in every barrel. And there are people who, you know, as children, you could do everything. You could be the best parent in the world. And it will still turn out bad. But you have to be measured with your children. I listened with great interest last night. I heard Sean. And now I'm not having a pop at Sean. We all have different styles. But I heard Sean talking about, you know, he caught his son. I can't remember what the exact circumstances were. But he, you know, he gave him a few wigs in the face and what have you. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, he said it only ever happened once. But if it had to get to the point where that happened, maybe Sean should be asking himself, well, like, did I fail him beforehand?
Well, Sean's not here at the moment to defend himself, so I don't know if we should be chatting about
him. No, I understand.
Stay with me there, Martin, because I have to go to... Yeah, go ahead. Just finish that off there, because I have to go to Mary.
No. As I said, I'm not having a pop at Sean. I'm just saying, you know, those were my thoughts, that maybe, you know, if it had been different, his son wouldn't have got into that situation. And it's not gentle parenting. What you're talking about is permissive parenting, and that's irresponsible parenting. You know, people who allow their children to dominate, to do whatever they want, because they don't want to be seen or to be perceived as aggressive parents. You don't have to be aggressive to correct your child. Correction should always be done with love, because you love your child, not because your child has frustrated you. If you get to the point where you're frustrated with your child, and that's why you're going overboard in correcting them, that's not going to work. It has to be driven by the love you have for your child to correct them.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, no, I agree, Martin. I hear what you're saying. Let me just go to Mary. If you want to get involved in the conversation, by the way, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. We're talking about gentle parenting, and I'm going to go to Mary next. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Not too bad.
I don't know, Martin, with the greatest of respect, I don't think you need to bring the Bible into this. I think it's a very black and white situation. I know I'm an older woman coming into this conversation, and I'm from a very large family of seven brothers and sisters. My parents were country people, and the slap was how something was dealt with, predominantly by my mother. My father was the please don't, leave it kind of guy. And Morris said something earlier which really annoyed me. It was like, you know, he kind of said that if you're treated in a certain way, like slapped and beaten and the whole lot, you become that person and you pass it on. No, you don't.
Well, you can, in Mary, fact, I think is what he was saying, is that you can.
But you try your best to try and better what you've received. And what I wanted to say, and I know I'm coming very late into the conversation.
No, you're grand. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I grew up with the slap and the school, the treatment in the school, which was the leather strap by the nuns. If you did something wrong, you were brought up to the front of the class, the whole lot. And it didn't make me out to be this heretic who thought the only way to control my children was to take a rod or a stick or a slap and beat them down to tell them, I'm the boss, you'll do what I say. So I don't believe that adage that, you know, it's the old do as I say, not as I do mode. I never raised my hand to my two kids, and they're 28 and 26 now.
But I think that with some people, Mary, the trauma has affected them so much that they don't know how else to react.
I'm not saying, AJ, it doesn't affect you, but it doesn't make you into this demon person who, if that's how you've been treated, that's the way you're going to deal with stuff. And I think it's an easy out to say, oh yeah, that's why they did that, because. And it isn't the case. Like I said, we were slapped and beaten and kicked and pushed and shoved, and that was both at home and in school. You didn't question it. I mean, I have the height of respect for my two parents because they did the best they could with what they had. And that's not an excuse, because they didn't know any better. And I know better, and I'd never do it. Does that mean that my children and their generation won't divert back to that? Who knows? We're living in society that's changing all the time, AJ. We've pressures now that we didn't have 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know, life is very tough. People think that kids have it easy now. They don't. They've got to fight so hard for everything now, to try and get a mortgage, to try and get on that level where you can afford to go out into the world and make it better for you. So it's not all easy, and there are pressures. But I don't think the easy out is a slap and, oh, they did it because. That's not going to solve it. That's not how it's going to work. And I don't get Martin's bringing the Bible into it, because I think you're your own person. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You don't need, you know, a Bible to tell you one way or the other. You know what's right and wrong.
If I could just make the point. My
just
reason for
quickly
bringing,
before I go to the news, Martin. Thanks.
Okay. My reason for bringing the Bible into it was, as I said, I have read many books by child psychologists, and yes, they get some things right and some things wrong. I was talking about the principle involved. That's what I was talking about. My view of the Bible.
The best measure, Martin. Sorry to cross you. The best person to measure their parental ability is the parent. And you
that's
know when you've gone
okay,
too
Mary,
far. You know,
Mary,
no, but you know when you've gone too far. If you end up slapping
Mary,
or pushing your child, you know you've gone too far, pet. It doesn't matter how you were reared. It's in that moment what you do with the situation you're in. And no book is going to get you out of that.
With respect, Mary, I think you're misinterpreting what I was saying. I think you're misinterpreting me entirely. What I'm saying is everything has to be measured. There is no, in beating a child or in abusive with a child, there is no solution in that. That's not what I was saying at all. What I was saying is that everything has to be measured. But there are occasions on which if you brutalize a child, or even if you're not brutalizing, but if you're just a parent that uses, you know, physical punishment, and David...
Sure.
David and Morris, I mean, I think was it Morris was saying, you know, his father was an army man. But the very fact he's not doing what his father did. It's not always the case that a child whose parents used physical punishment will use physical punishment on their child. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that a child being brought up, parents, if they're permissive parents, their child won't always turn out to be a serial killer. But the child may not have the same, may not have the values they need for the things that they should value in life. That may be the case, that a child who's not properly corrected, and I don't mean physical beating.
No,
I mean
not being a
permissive parent, in my opinion. A parent who allows their child to get away with all kinds of things is doing their child no favor. You should sit your child down from the moment you realize your child is cognizant and can understand what you're saying. You should be guiding your child, correcting your child, putting time in with your child or your children. And
sorry, guys, I'm going to have to go to the news. Martin and Mary, you can stay with me if you want. We can carry this on after the news. And Patrick is on the line on hold there as well. So I will come back to this after the news. If you do want to stay with me, that would be great. Guys, we're talking about gentle parenting. If you want to get involved in the conversation, 087-188-0008 is the number for WhatsApp. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan this week. Now, we're talking about gentle parenting. We were talking about it before the news, but we're going to continue it on because we've had quite a few callers on this one. I'm going to go to Patrick now next. If I can get the right button. Hi, Patrick. How are you?
How's it going, AJ? How are you?
Not too bad. So you're saying that you are happy with the level of punishment that you received?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a big family years ago, and we're talking about back in, you know, I'm a 70s child for all the world, like, really. But, like, I must have only got a clatter once off my parents, you know, but they did shoulder us, but I realised what was right from wrong from it, you know. And it kind of came to the stage that I didn't want to disappoint them after a while because my friends were drinking, taking drugs, you know. But, like, I knew after, like, you know, right from wrong, after, like, a little bit of a stern giving out to, was, like, it was always love in our family. My mother and father always made sure they told me they loved me. Which was the best thing you could ever have, you know. No matter what, kids need to know they're loved, whether they're doing right or wrong.
It doesn't sound like you had a particularly harsh upbringing. Like, it was, it seemed like it was firm but fair.
Very, very fair. But, like, my point I'm coming across is that, like, today, you know, like, if you're on a bus, you're in around town and kids are clattering their parents for no reason because they didn't get what they need to get, you know. We didn't do that. We had respect. We were growing up with respect. I went to school there. Like, I was the last of the corporal punishment, you know, bamboo sticks, which I never taught my parents that it happened, you know, and they would have grown up, like, with the priests and the nuns. Like, we had the fair, the doctors and the guards when we grew up, you know. We're like, you had the fair and the small bit of respect. And what happened, like, we did get clatters. Not so much, but you knew right from wrong. And what it is today, nobody knows right from wrong.
And why do you think that is, Patrick? Why do you think that you're seeing kids that you don't think know right from wrong?
There's no respect there anymore because everyone's been influenced by the internet, you know?
There is a lot on social media, yeah, for sure.
People are afraid because, Jesus, God forbid, like, if you give up to your child today, it could be on social media. And you might be the nicest person in the world, but you're going to be the biggest fecker, you know, just by telling them no. You know, if it's on, if there's a video, if it's worth the video, it's a judgment. You know, the whole world has been judged.
So do you think that it's just gone full circle now and parents are actually afraid to discipline their children, even if it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Parents are afraid to be themselves, you know. Like, there's parents there that love their kids, but their kids are saucy bastards. Sorry for the language.
Don't worry, Patrick.
They're afraid to tell them right from wrong because it's not what their neighbours are doing and everyone else is doing. And it's fair being judged nowadays. You know, it's very hard. Like, I have two teenage boys and they're absolutely great kids, but still saucy, you know. They're humans, but nowadays it's like kids are like robots, you know.
I just want to just bring Martin in on this because Martin, you were saying that, you know, the problem is passive and permissive parenting, not so much gentle parenting, and I think that that's what Patrick is talking about, is, you know, slipping over the line there and just letting kids away with everything, and then that's where we're coming into massive problems where kids don't have respect and they don't know right from wrong.
absolutely, Patrick is on point there. If children don't have boundaries growing up, they'll expect no boundaries when they're adults, and that's not a good thing. My whole point is, I'm not in favour of certainly I'm not in favour of physical aggression towards a child, but it serves no purpose. You might as well beat a dog. I mean, if a dog does something wrong and the dog doesn't speak English, it has a limited intellect and a limited capacity to understand, and you can beat the hell out of a dog for something they've done, and the dog doesn't really understand why it's being beaten. The same with young children. If they don't understand the consequence of what they've done, and I don't mean understanding the consequences of getting a beating, I mean, if you don't sit them down and say, listen, you know, there's been a bad outcome to something you've done wrong. Now, that it may be something very minor or it may be something very serious, but you have to sit them down and make them understand. It has to be said, that won't work in every situation. You will have people who, no matter what you do, and we had this conversation about people in prison, there are always going to be people who grow up, and no matter how well they were brought up, no matter how loving and how corrective the parents were with proper loving correction, there's always going to be bad apples. And you will have the other side of it where children were brought up being brutalized by parents who are fabulous parents because they have got innate ability to be good parents.
So Patrick, did you experience that when you were younger? Did your parents talk to you about what you had done wrong rather than just go in heavy handed?
They did, but my father was the quiet one, to be fair. He was. And my mother was the disciplinary. She, like, the wooden spoon kind of caper years ago. You know, like, when the wooden spoon came out, you knew you were getting...
The dreaded wooden
You were getting
spoon.
Too big. You were, yeah, you were getting big then. You know, that was... No, my mother used to, though, she used to give us a clatter, not across the face. She's, you know, she had to tell us, you know, because, as I said, I hung around with a couple of unsavouries and, like... They were all drinking early and stuff like that, and they were out, and like it was the case, you know, here in Ireland, it's typical. When the light comes on and the street lights come on, it's time to come home. And which we were near across the road, you know, but like, yeah, you knew you came home and that was it. There was nights I was in at 8 o'clock, all my friends were out till 10:30. But if I didn't have the little bit of discipline, I'd have been out till 10:30. But all my buddies that stayed out at 10:30 were out robbing cars and bikes and stuff, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like that you had the perfect level of discipline, you know, that sort of just kept you in
there
check.
You
and
go.
That's what you said in your message as well, that you feel like it really helped you.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it was a case then as I got like, and to be fair, which is hard to believe in Ireland, I had my first drink at 18, you know.
Wow. well done, Patrick.
I know. It's surrounded by it. No, but no, as I said, my parents weren't drinkers, so, you know. They provided for us over the years. They had a hard life as well, you know, and even through with the nuns and the priests and all, have you say. So it's not a knock-on effect when bad parents have their bad times. It doesn't carry on to the kids. It's all about the people's own opinion, you know. But, like, what happened, like, you know, we did have a great upbringing. We had nothing. We had everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Martin. Sorry, actually, Martin, I've got Sean on the line, actually, because he said that he wants to come on and have a chat with you. He wants to defend himself. Is it OK if I stick him on, Martin?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Hi, Sean. How are you?
How are you doing? Hey, Jay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. So here we are, Martin. Did you want to pull me up on something that I said last night?
No, Sean, I'm not pulling you up. I'm simply disagreeing with what I heard last night. Now, maybe I took it out of context, I don't know, but what came across to me was that you came across a situation where your son was doing something wrong and your first instinct was to use physical discipline on him to the point where you gave him a punch. Is that correct?
Well, can I say this to you, Martin, first of all?
No, I'm addressing you, and I'm telling you.
You know, I'm a very good parent. You know, from
I'm not listening,
Martin. Please, I'm addressing what you said. I brought him up the right way, and same as the rest of the kids. And he stepped out of line, and I gave him a few warnings not to do this, not to do that. He ignored my warnings, and He came in here, and I don't know if you heard it, he was screaming and shouting one night and acting the bollocks, as I said. And then the second time round, I had to use physical violence. And sometimes the fact of the matter is, Martin, if you, you know, he's not a kid. But he is. He's always going to be my kid. I don't mean it like that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, a slap, it was warranted because he was overtaking me. He was overtaking his mammy. He was overtaking the house. He was stepping out of line way too much, as far as I'm concerned. So sometimes that is warranted, Mark. And I'm going to stand by what I've done, and I'll always stand by what I've done, because the fact of the matter is, sometimes it is warranted. And I don't care what anybody thinks out there tonight, but the fact of the matter is, I think that I was justified in what I've done, because what's happening here, Martin, is tonight, and every other night of the week, as I said last night, the parents are too friendly with the kids and the teenagers and this, that, the other. They're sitting there, they're drinking with them, they're letting them in on that business. And next of all, it's the kids that's running the house, not the parents. And I said that last night.
Can I ask you something, son? How old was your son at this time?
He was 17.
Okay. I do apologise. I got something entirely... I misinterpreted something entirely. I mean, if I had, I'll be honest with you, if I had a son, which I didn't have any sons, I had daughters, but if I had a son who came in and started getting aggressive with his mother at 17, he's not a child, he's now a man. So yes, I as I said, John, I do apologise. I took something out of context.
You're okay.
Because I was listening, but I was also I was dealing with an email at the time. That's, I'm not making an excuse for it. But if I had a son at 17 who starts getting aggressive with his mother, I would literally he's no longer a child. I'd tell him once, cut it out. If he didn't, then yes, now I'm dealing with a man, and he has to deal with me as a man. And if it comes to physicality, it will become physical. So I do apologise, son. I took you out of context.
What I'm hearing here is, and it's not only us, it's everybody. You got to get down on their level. I've done all this, and here, again, you know, I'm not a fucker. I'm not a bad fucker, you know. My father and mother, we know that, but I'm just saying, for the whole conversation that's going on tonight, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it. You can, and you have to sometimes. And I did, and I said what I said last night. I back up every word I said. If the kids are going to act the arsehole, you're going to have to pull them up. And sometimes talking, there's no talking to them. There is no talking to them. And a good swift fucking slap is what I said last night. And that's, if it's warranted, it's going to have to go that way. And that's the end of it. You know, and people said, oh, geez, you can't do it, you can't. You see, this is what the problem is with society today, and
John,
I did say this.
You're spot on there, right? To be fair, I've an 18 and a 21-year-old, and the two of them chanced around once, and I had to physically restrain them from it,
absolutely.
You know. But it's just because they're not men, they're kids, you know. But, like, if you let them do it once, but they'll do that, you know, outside when they leave the front door. Like,
they'll run the place.
Yes,
I said this last night. I'm the captain of the ship, and I said this, and I meant this. There's only one captain of the ship, and that's me. And everybody else in this ship, I'm steering this ship in the right way, and I'm trying to do the best I can for everybody. You know, my first mate is my partner, and, you know, whoever's on that ship, obviously, my kids, we're doing the best we can. But the fact of the matter is, there is only one captain, you know, and there's only one first mate, and that's the end of it, you know, and that always will be it. You know, my father told me that many years ago. I'm the captain of the ship, and I says, I agree with you, sir. And my father, again, like you, Martin, army man, military man, he always, you know, and I always respected him. I would never, ever disgrace my mother and father. You know, and I fell out of, you know, tech context one time, and I got into the wrong, it was just one night, and it was a stupid thing. The guards were at the door, and, I fucking learned from it. You know, I did. You know, we there's one thing. We never bring the guards to the door in my family, and I have a huge family. And it was just respect for your mother and father. See the respect for mother and father today. I'm looking around everywhere. It's gone. No kids respect their mother and father these days, and it's fucking shocking, guys. It's absolutely fucking horrifying, actually, what I'm seeing.
Okay, guys, and I'm going to have to go to the ads. Sorry, Sean, to cut you off. I'm going to have to go to the ads. We're way over time. Thank you so much for getting involved, guys. Thanks, Sean, Martin, Patrick, and everybody else who got involved tonight. We were talking about gentle parenting.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.